it's Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of the reading we just read. For our conversation is in heaven. I knew a man who spent 3 whole weeks abroad in a country just getting citizenship for his baby daughter. When the war ended, I was born in India. My father took great pains to get me a naturalization papers to become English. He took that at considerable pains. I talked to a consul once in Casablanca. And he said to me, I didn't realise the importance of gaining English citizenship, and I allowed it to drift beyond the 3 months they give you. And he said, it took me 6 years to get citizenship for my daughter in England. I lived with a man in London in the missionary home there, a young man, who told me he was born in Egypt, and we used to sometimes sit together at the table. It was a big dining room full of missionaries. And he said that his parents hadn't realized you had to get citizenship, and he'd never got it. And he said, now I'm a stateless person. I'm not Egyptian, I'm not English, and I can't get a passport. That one of the most precious possessions you have in life is English citizenship or British citizenship. It's a very, very precious possession and worth holding on to. Now, you see this word conversation, it means citizenship. That's roughly translating it. It's a very difficult word. It only comes here in the whole New Testament. And when it says our citizenship is in heaven, it's not just our walk is in heaven, but we're citizens of another country who are living in this world as foreigners. Now, what Paul is saying here is very clear. The Philippians would have understood. They were a colonia of Rome. And the most precious thing any one of the Philippians had was there was a roll in Rome on which was written every citizen's name. And they had all their names written on that roll in Rome. It meant that that Rome would do inquiries if anything happened to them, and would send armies if they were badly treated. It meant that they had great protection. Now that's what citizenship is. Now when a Roman was asked to do some dirty deed, his sufficient reply was, Civis Romanus sum, I am a citizen of Rome. And that meant, I don't do that sort of low skullduggery, I have nothing to do with it. And a lady missionary told me, who'd been in Pakistan all her life, I said to her, and where we were missionaries, there was a lot of trouble with corruption. A lot. And we refused corruption. I remember once having to wait 6 weeks to get a car on the road because I wouldn't give them their bribe they were after. And she said to me, it wasn't like that in Pakistan. They all knew the English never took part in corruption. So all you had to say was, I am English, and you had no more trouble with corruption. She said, I lived there many years, and I can tell you that for a fact. So citizenship is something very precious which you have in heaven. You've got an actual name written in heaven on the roll of citizens, and you're down here. So what the apostle is saying here is that citizenship demands a level of behaviour. Now, look what behaviour demands. You see, he says, for, and that means it depends on the ideas of the previous verses. It's very difficult to tell how many verses, but we return to the beginning of the chapter. And what is the first mark of a citizen of the kingdom? It's anger. You'd be surprised at that, but it's a very joyful letter. And yet Paul suddenly gets very angry at the beginning of chapter 3. You see, he says, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, and it's all good. And then he says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That's people who circumcise you. Jews, his own race. So in the midst of this very joyful letter, Paul gives a wild outburst of anger. His real anger behind those words. He says, be careful. You've got these people trying to entrap you back into things which you shouldn't be in. Now look, if you're a Christian, you cannot just smile nicely when people tell you of wicked doings and of wrong doctrines and of things that they believe which they shouldn't believe. You can't just get past it by saying, oh well, that's just them, we won't say too much about it. Paul was angry. And what he was angry about was that it undermined the cross of the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus died and was circumcised that he might keep the whole law and die sinless. If we get circumcised, we put ourselves bound to keep the covenant, which is the law. And we have to keep the whole law to get to heaven, which nobody's ever yet been able to do. So then, his first thing is anger. Now there must be a level of anger in a Christian. I cannot help feeling that some Christians are too bland. And you see, blandness comes not just from being a nice character, but from being a character who doesn't care. You listen to two politicians wildly attacking each other on the television, and then you watch them walk arm in arm off out back into the commons, and all joking and laughing and drinking together. The fact is, it's about skin deep, the whole argument. We don't want that sort of thing. There's something in our hearts which will not accept anyone who tampers with the cross of the Lord Jesus, with justification by faith, that says there's any other way to heaven by good works. Other religions, everybody who does it, we're against, and we're angry about it. Now that's the first thing that we've got to see here. Now the next thing is, our citizenship involves loss. So you're marked as a citizen of heaven, first by anger, next by loss. Now you look what he says, verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now flesh there doesn't mean just the usual thing it means in the New Testament, all the sins of the flesh and the weakness of the flesh and that area in which we're tempted. It means there the height of all I'd gained in life, my full manhood. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he goes through all the things about his religion. And what he's saying is this: I was greatly admired as the most perfect specimen of a man who could get to heaven by good works. I did the lot, and I had everything. I was a strict Pharisee, I was everything you could think of. And I count it all loss. Now, everything you were count as loss. Everything you achieved in life count as loss. John Sung, who started the Church of the Little Shepherd in China, trained in America long before the communists, and on the way back there he took all the doctorates he'd earned in America, and he was a very clever man, and he threw them all overboard because he said those were no use to him. What he relied on was the cross of Christ. And he started the church which outlasted the Cultural Revolution. It was the Church of the Little Shepherd that really broke through in China to the present huge position of China's Christians. Something like 100 million of them there are. Do you know 15,000 people become Christians in China every day? Every single day of the year, at least 15,000 people in China find the Lord. No, he finds them. Now, you can see what loss means. You've lost everything for Jesus, and anything you were, regard as loss. Now, the next thing is, it involves putting in place of loss, your third mark is Christ, as our only confidence and our only hope before God. So it sums up this way. All I was, all I achieved, all that other people are trying to bring into the church, that's just loss. What is gain is Christ. Christ is my gain, and he's my only gain. Now, you've replaced all religious observances with Jesus. And that's simple. That's why Christianity is the simplest of all religions. It's just Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the water of life. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is God. Jesus is man. He's everything. So everything we have, we've put in Jesus. All our eggs are in one basket. And if he failed us, well then we've lost. No uncertain way. Now, the fourth mark of you, you see, you've got this anger, you've got this loss, you've got above all Christ, now it's progress in Christ. That is your fourth mark as a Christian, as a citizen here. You see, look at verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What Paul is saying there is, on the Damascus Road, I counted. I had a little idea what Jesus was worth. I knew he was worth following, and I followed him, but I had no idea what it all held. But since then, he said, I have grown enormously as a Christian, and now I count in a different way. It's a present tense. He can see more and more into Christ. Now, you must progress. Progress is the mark of the citizen of heaven. Progress in knowledge of Christ. Progress in gaining Christ. Progress in making Christ your own. That's what it's all. So you can measure your progress. Now, the first measure is in your brain. It says, I counted. That is a mental thing. I counted loss for Christ. There's a knowledge of the Lord. And that's your very first mark. Your brain knowledge of Christ is growing. Now that's not sufficient on its own, but it's got to be there, because everything we believe because it's logical and because it follows on from the Lord. Now the second great mark of this progress is consecration. Now look what he says. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now that all things twice means he held nothing back from Christ. Christ could have his tongue and his heart, his time and his money, his books and his attainments, everything he had. So what he's saying is all things. He's progressing in consecration. And every Christian becomes more consecrated or goes back into the world every year. No Christian stands still. And I believe all of you are being more and more consecrated day by day to Jesus. And that is the most wonderful thing. So it's total consecration. Now, the third thing is a greater reliance on Christ's righteousness. You see, in verse 4 onwards, he'd established his own righteousness. Now, if you go to verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, that's everything he'd ever established in life, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, to count but done that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God which is by faith. I renounce my own righteousness. I accept that Jesus is righteous. He died in my place, my substitute. I put all my weight on him. And so I renounce all my own good works in the law, and I accept only the righteousness which is of God by faith. God raised Jesus from the dead. God vindicated Jesus' sufferings, and he is my offering in my place. So that's what it is. So true glorying in Christ is impossible without testing. And so the next thing you'll find, the mark of the citizenship which is progressing, is being tested more and more. Some of you have suffered a great deal. Some Christians suffer enormously. It's the most wonderful thing, because that is testing. And you see, what Paul had to discover in life is when he went home and told them he was a Christian, it didn't get him plaudits, it got him blows. When he said that he changed from being a member of the Sanhedrin and a great upholder of Judaism to being a Christian, he was immediately hunted for his life. And he had to run from place to place the rest of his life away from the Jews. The Jews were after him to kill him. And so were the Roman authorities by the end, and so were plenty of others. The fact is this, that you're going to suffer. And Jesus never made any bones about it. He told you so from the beginning. And the sign of progress is testing. All that you have in righteousness has to be tested. This is what I find the hardest thing in the Christian life, and I believe most people do. So then they're tested. Now the fourth thing that shows that you're growing is satisfaction. That I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, suffering is how you'll get there to satisfaction. Satisfaction is something in the heart. It isn't possessing outward things, it's possessing Christ. And the more of Christ we possess, the more satisfaction we have, because in Christ we have the knowledge of God. So, if you want to measure your citizenship, remember anger, loss, Christ, and then your advance. How you advance by all these methods. Just remember those things, and that will give you all that you need to be a citizen of heaven. Amen.